Where do I park if I register?
You can park in hell.
Why should I park in hell?
Because you're wearing that shit on your head.
What shit is on my head? You're representing a synagogue and you're calling this shit?
Of course it is.
This is illegal.
Hi, my name is Rich Siegel. I'm Jewish. The reason that I'm telling you that I'm Jewish is because I have a concern about something that's going on in the Jewish community.
Greetings of peace, everybody. My next guest, Miko Pillid.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, scumbag.
So stupid.
You're a bunch of racists. Supporters of genocide, supporters of apartheid.
If you're like me, you've been watching The Dean Show for now almost 20 years. Allah preserve our man, Eddie, and continue his work. Allah has opened for him a new door. We went from The Dean Show to The Dean Center, which is going to be in Florida. And I've been rooting for this project. I support it. I urge you to support it too. We know this brother and his work. He's got a track record that speaks for itself. This center is going to be successful, inshallah, as successful as the show is, and all his other dawah works. Go to the website, support it, and we look forward to seeing more good news coming out of there.
Recently featured on the Dumb and Dumber show.
Over 12,000 children were just massacred, and you want to condemn the Palestinians? Damn you and shame on you both.
I want to answer this question.
Genocidal.
Yes, those two dummies. And also on the Piers Morgan.
Do you believe that Israel has a right to exist in the first place?
Now, who is Miko Pillid? He's an Israeli-American peace activist, author of the hit book, The General's Son. Because his father was a general in the IDF, Israeli Army, he was also himself a special forces soldier in the IDF, and his grandfather helped create the State of Israel. He comes from one of the biggest well-known Zionist families. Let's talk with Miko Pillid.
This is the Dean Show.
Good, I love you very much. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Miko. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you, my friend? Good to see you again.
Good, good to have you back on the program. What's the current death toll of children, civilians, humans?
You know, the interesting thing about that, well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show again. You know, the interesting thing about these numbers is that they are fluid. So, you know, nobody knows really what the death toll is because so many of the dead are under the rubble. So many of the dead are dying as we speak because they are sick or starving or dying of their wounds. And I was talking to some friends yesterday about this. What makes this horror even worse is that 5-minute drive away from this catastrophe where children are dying of starvation and disease, curable disease, and starvation that could be alleviated right away, dying from horrifying wounds, from all kinds of terrible weapons, and being killed directly, is that like 5 minutes away from there, people are living in peace. There's plenty of food, plenty of water, great medical facilities, and all these people could be saved. I mean, everybody that's sick, everybody that's dying can be treated, can be saved. The hungry can be fed. There's plenty of clean water. 5 minutes away by car. 5 minutes away by car in Israeli settlements right outside the Gaza Strip. You know, there's cities with hospitals, with everything. 5 minutes away. You put a kid 5 minutes in a car, drive him to the hospital, give him the IV, give him the nutrition, treat their wounds, they're done. They're healthy. So we don't know how many are dead because as we speak, they're dying, more are dying. So the number is about 30,000 killed, out of them maybe 12,000 children, but nobody's had the chance to count what is happening under the rubble. Nobody's had the chance to save people. Nobody knows how many people are being killed right now. And I'll say this again, 5 minutes drive from there, there are hospitals, there's food, there's clean water. All of this can be fixed right away in 5 minutes, not to mention there's God knows how many hundreds and hundreds of trucks waiting to bring in aid. And the only way aid is coming in is by this ridiculous airdrop. They're airdropping humanitarian aid to a place, you know, it's 30 minutes from Tel Aviv. It's a 10-minute drive to other cities. And you know what I mean? I mean, it's absolutely a ridiculously absurd situation that is taking place in the Gaza Strip right now. It's pretty bad at the rest of Palestine as well. But it can be fixed in 5 minutes. It can be prevented in 5 minutes. It can be avoided. It could have been avoided, I think, from the beginning. It was predictable and preventable, but that's another question. But as far as how many, who knows? Thousands, tens of thousands.
I mean, all that people have to do is have their humanity on. Do you think there was a lack of any of that? You were recently on the Dumb and Dumber show. Is it called a Dumb and Dumber show?
It should be. If it's not, it should be.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, they have names, which I didn't bother to remember.
Well, that's what I call Dumb and Dumber, the two clowns.
You
are a bunch of clowns.
That it seems like their humanity is totally off, or they have none.
They have none. They have none.
You called them out. You rightfully so called them out.
You know, I tried to be polite at first.
You did.
This is one of the rare times where I didn't actually check them out. I didn't have time to check them out before I got on the show. Usually I check, you know, people like that out to find out who they are. And so at first I thought I was being polite, you know, and then it was obvious that they were out there to, you know, being polite was not going to work. So I let him have it. But people who are still, condemning the Palestinians, supporting the Israelis, have no humanity, period. There's no other way to explain it.
What was your impression of Piers Morgan? He had you on also a couple of times. What was your impression of him and the direction he was going? We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed according to the authentic statements of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That's why I use the black seed by Tasneem, and 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Deen Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Deen Show for 15% off.
That was pretty good. I mean, there was a panel, myself and Omar Bader, who's a Palestinian, and this ridiculous spokesperson, Zionist spokesperson, was there. And I it's hard to tell if he's just showmanship or if he's sincere or what he really thinks. He keeps himself kind of aloof like that. It's hard to tell what he really thinks, but he got very angry every time I said that, I called the Palestinian resistance. Instead of using all these other words that other people like to use, which I reject, and that I made it very clear that there is terrorism going on, but the terrorism is coming from the Israeli side, and the source of the violence and the suffering is coming from the Israeli side. He didn't like that, so he jumped on me every time I said that. He had to intervene and try to correct me. But I don't accept that Palestinian resistance is terrorism. But so it's hard to tell these people if they're in it because of the showmanship, because they want to get a lot of, viewers and ratings, or if they're sincere. It's hard to tell.
Here was the one good point that you brought up during that interview on the Piers Morgan. You said the world looked away when the Jews were being murdered by Nazis, and now they're doing the same thing as the world is turning away as the Palestinians are being murdered by the Zionists. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, look, it's actually worse if you look at it historically. You know, World War II ended in 1945. The genocide of the Jews in Europe by the Nazis was put to a stop. 3 years later, and a lot of international law that was, like the crimes, the definition of crimes against humanity, definition of the crime of genocide, and so on, were created as a result of what happened in World War II, of the genocide of the Jews and so many others that were murdered by the Nazis. 3 years after that, the world allowed an apartheid state to be established in Palestine, a campaign of genocide and ethnic cleansing, all three of which are designated as crimes against humanity, to take place in Palestine, right in front of the world, on midday. They weren't even hiding. It wasn't even a secret, creating this massive catastrophe that began in 1947, 1948, and really didn't end, has not ended yet. So the world has been looking the other way when it comes to Palestinians for a very long time. Right now, obviously, is an extreme situation. And once again, the world is, the best thing people are talking about with pride is that they're airdropping aid. Airdropping aid? Why do you have to airdrop aid when you can drive in? You can just drive in and fix it. Why don't you deal with the source of the problem, which is Israel? Impose severe sanctions on the state of Israel, demand that Israel open the borders, demand that Israel stop bombing, demand that Israel provide, Israel itself needs to provide the humanitarian aid since Israel created this catastrophe. You know, there should be an embargo on arms sales to Israel. Why was anybody selling weapons to a country that is committing genocide like this right in front of our very eyes? Who in good conscience can agree to sell weapons? Well, the United States and others, many others are selling weapons. And that's the tragedy. I mean, you don't need to airdrop when 5 minutes away, you can bring food from within 5 minutes, you can food and aid and everything you need, you know. This is an absurd reality that exists in Palestine, where Palestinians always have to, are always dealt with in a different standard. It's always a different standard when it comes to Palestinians. They need to be willing to accept the bare minimum.
Now, you aren't only an IDF soldier. You used to be, is that correct, a Special Forces IDF soldier?
Well, I had to serve. I was there, and there's a mandatory service when I lived there, and I did my 3 years mandatory service, which I of course regret. But refusing was not part of the conversation in the circles where I was raised. And so, you know, my father was a general, so refusing to serve. But I wish I had the understanding and the capacity and the courage to refuse. But unfortunately, yeah. I didn't.
I want to get your reaction to Rabbi David. He's a Jewish rabbi. On events that are unfolding, just some recent events, and get your feedback on this.
Yeah, hi. So I'm Rabbi David Mivasser. I'm an active member of Independent Jewish Voices Canada. And I'm here today outside a synagogue where they're selling properties built on land stolen from Palestinians. There's a real estate agency that's come here today to Toronto to sell properties built on stolen Palestinian land. It's kind of unbelievable that Canada permits this. It's clearly illegal. So we're here today to call that out and, God willing, to make it stop.
Are you familiar with this? What's going on?
Yes, I know. First of all, I know him very well, and he's a great activist, and I'm aware of this. Yes, but you know, again, it's this has been going on, not from today. I mean, all of Israel sits on stolen land. All of Israel is one big settlement. So, and they've been selling Palestinian land to settler or to, you know, selling property or developing, I should say. The Israelis have been developing cities, towns, whatever, everything on stolen Palestinian land from the very beginning. And this has been allowed not only in Canada, it's allowed in the United States, it's allowed in Europe. I mean, it's commonplace, you know, and they advertise it. There's a lot of their websites out there that where they advertise it, or they come to synagogues like we just saw and they sell it. Today, of course, there's a little more awareness because of the genocide taking place in Gaza. So people are more sensitive to this. But this is not new. It was criminal in the beginning. It's criminal now. It's stolen land. And the city that actually there was something on social media that I saw about this just a couple hours ago. I know the place. I know the village from where the land was stolen. I mentioned it in my book, actually, in the General Sun. When they started building, I was in the village. It's called the village of Bilayin. It's in the West Bank, and they were building that city that they're selling right now, Medina Elite, that they're talking about, on their land. And the Palestinians are not permitted to buy. In other words, they're building a city, they're developing on Palestinian land, but Palestinians are not allowed to live in those developments. These are only for Jews. So not only are they stealing the land from the Palestinians, the Palestinians cannot enjoy the benefits of the development. They can't go to the shopping malls. They can't drive on the highways. Now there's a wall, actually, between the village and the city that was built. And the Palestinians can't even buy an apartment or in these cities. And it's not the only one. It's just this one has just come up because of this action that we're seeing. But, I mean, it's not the only one. This is true everywhere. Palestinians cannot buy in Israeli developments.
This was new to my – I know that the settlement issue, what is it, about 800,000 illegal settlements? Is that correct? Somewhere around that figure there?
So here's the thing, okay? It's not – so people tend to refer to settlements only when these are cities and towns that are built on land that Israel occupied in 1967. So that's the number you're quoting, whatever, 800,000 or something like that of settlers. But they're forgetting – that 20 years before that, in 1948, when Israel was established, they stole the lion's share of Palestine. So the West Bank is a small portion. It's about 20% of Palestine. The lion's share of Palestine was taken in 1948, and that's when Israel was established as a state to begin with. So people only deal with the ones, the settlements being built on the second part of the occupation, not the first part of the occupation. But every single city, every single town, every single farm that is Israeli is sitting on stolen land. These are all illegal settlements. There are no legal settlements, Israeli settlements. They're all built on stolen land.
In layman's terms, for someone to understand, I don't know why this soft term settlements, concocted this term settlements. I mean, if someone comes and steals your home, you don't say, I'm going to court for a settlement. This is a theft. This is a felony. This is someone's actually, this is, land grab? This is house theft. Why is such a soft term, settlement?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. This is theft. These are crimes against humanity. This is a crime against, this is a violation of international law. And it's been going on for, listen, it's been going on for almost 80 years, you know, this land theft and legalized land
theft. Land theft, yes. I don't think anyone in their right mind, anyone who has any property, a house, a condo, a bicycle, if someone was like, hey, are you okay with someone just coming in your house and kicking you out? Like we saw that famous video, the guy from New York comes over and he says, well, if I don't take it, someone else will.
You are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going to steal it.
You remember that one?
Yeah, of course. And that's the attitude. The attitude is that somehow this is somehow ordained, you know, that Palestinians have to deal with this violence and the theft of their land and property because it's going to happen one way or the other. But why does it have to happen? Why aren't we stopping it? Why are our taxpayers' money going to that country to support this? You know, why are we selling them weapons? It can end. Like I said, the catastrophe we're seeing now was predictable and preventable. The one before that was also predictable and preventable. And we can go back as far back as we want. And they were all predictable and they were all preventable.
So we know about that. Most people, we know about that. I knew about that. But now I didn't know that. And we'll go into this next video. This is someone who went and registered. And then he, in the video, he actually goes to, I don't know if it's an auction or whatnot in Canada. And he's going in, but he happens to have a Palestinian flag. So, and he's not a Zionist, so they're not letting him in. Let's go and have a look at this.
Woodway Park. This is private
property. Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from here.
Yeah. Woodway Park for this.
I don't care. This is private property.
I registered Woodway Park.
This is all private property.
Yeah, I registered for the event. Woodway Park.
You can park up my ass if you want.
Where?
Up my ass.
Why? I registered for the pop.
That's
the
problem.
So who can park here only? Jews only? What is it?
So this is a private cemetery.
No, but I registered.
I don't care what you did.
Who are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from here.
What's the property are you from?
I'm from here.
So I don't get it. Where do I park if I register?
You can park in hell.
Why should I park in hell?
Because you're wearing that shit on your head.
What shit is on my head? You're representing a synagogue, you're calling this shit?
Of course it is.
From a synagogue?
Think for yourself, sir.
Where do I register for them, where do I park?
Sir, are you Jewish?
I'm not Jewish, no.
Why are you here?
Because I registered for a
Jew. Why is you registered for a
Because they're selling land. I registered a place to land.
Not for you. Have you signed up?
Yes, I registered right here. I'm showing you my registration. Where are you from? I might get down to who are you from?
Not from here.
This group here?
Why is that?
I registered for the group. Were you from the group?
Yeah, you're okay.
Got it. I registered for this group, this event today. He's telling me my views. I said, I'm not Jewish.
He's not coming in here. He's not coming in.
I'm just confused. I registered.
Yeah, okay. He's so calling this gentleman knows you. He's suggesting you're coming in.
He doesn't know me.
Okay, we'll prove him up.
He said this hat means I'm shit.
Okay.
He called this shit.
What do you believe in? Why are you wearing the hat?
You know what I believe. That's like me.
That's what I do.
Okay, so I registered for this. What do I do? Let me talk to you first.
So, on October
2nd, do you mind coming over for me?
No.
You're going talking. He's a police officer. He's going
to
talk.
I'm going to talk to my hand.
That's up to him to decide.
What's the issue? I'm confused.
I just want to know why you're here. I'll let him handle it.
I want to buy property.
Oh, you do?
That's why I'm here. I registered. I want to buy property.
So why are you wearing my hat?
I'm confused. To buy property in West Bank, you have to kind of wear a hat?
You can wear a hat, but obviously you know the context and the climate.
So Keller Williams sells land in Modi Elliott, which they say is Israel. Right. Google says it's in the West Bank. I want, I, Palestine is West Bank, so I want to buy property.
No, that's not right.
That's great. Good for him. Good for him. He's calling their bluff. He's calling their bluff, and their racism and their dishonesty are just glaring, you know, and the rudeness and the brutality of their attitude towards him. They can't even be polite and pretend to be polite. They're so rude and brutish and racist. But that's exactly the town that I mentioned in my book. This is exactly what we were just talking about.
This town, what's it called again?
The village that the land was stolen from is called Bil'in. The town is called Modi'in Elite, which is the name of the, you know, it's the name of the town. But let me tell you another story that's very similar to this, okay? This is in Palestine, in what is considered, not the West Bank, what is some people consider as legitimate Israel, if there is such a thing. It's in the city of city of Lid. The city of Lid is in one of the oldest cities in Palestine. Today it was occupied in 1948. it's the Tel Aviv airport sits on occupied land of the city of Lid. And 40% today, about 40% of the population there are Palestinians. So when the city develops apartments, recreational areas, schools, they develop for the Jewish population only. So there's no infrastructure for the Palestinians. No sewage, no electricity, no roads, no, you know, the schools are terrible. There's nothing, you know. And if the Palestinians dare to build anything, fix their roof on the horrible conditions in which they live, because a lot of them have to live in these temporary kind of housing, units, they get just destroyed. The bulldozers come and destroy everything. So it's horrifying. And these are citizens of Israel. So they're building a development and they auction, you know, the apartment. So you go and you register. And then if your name comes up, then you can purchase. So a Palestinian from a Palestinian neighborhood within that city. Now the city is segregated. The neighborhoods are segregated. Palestinians have no road, no sidewalks, no playgrounds and so on. No housing to speak of. And so a Palestinian citizen of Israel went to register to buy an apartment. And they said, sorry, we're full. There are no apartments available. So he left and he asked a Jewish Israeli friend of his to try to register. And when this Jewish Israeli went to register, they said, sure, what would you like? One bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom. We've got, you know, all these different options. Yeah. Da, 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 da. So he said, wait a minute. You just told my Palestinian friend that it's all full. Why'd you tell him that? And very honestly, very openly, they said, well, if we allow Palestinians to buy here, nobody else will buy. If we allow Palestinians, we can't allow Palestinians to buy in these new developments, new projects, because then nobody else will buy. So knowingly and openly, they discriminate in a way that is so horrifying. And of course, Palestinians can't build for themselves. If they do, they get destroyed. They have to pay and destroy their own homes and so on. And this is happening every single day throughout Palestine. And now we're seeing it happen, you know, the same kind of racism, the same discrimination, the same theft, as you very well put it. Being displayed in Canada and it's happening here in the United States, I'm sure as well.
But this is, I mean, there's clear laws. I mean, anybody who knows about real estate, practice real estate, there's real estate laws. Like, you can't just go ahead and say, okay, this is an auction. It's just for, besides the point that this is stolen land. Okay. That's one point, but now you're holding an auction and this man in the video, he went and registered, he comes there. So they're not letting him in, but he registered. And because he has a Palestinian hat, and you know that if you had this auction and said only for whites or only for blacks or whatever, this is illegal.
My name is Rich Siegel. I'm Jewish. The reason that I'm telling you that I'm Jewish is because I have a concern about something that's going on in the Jewish community. On March 10th, there is scheduled to be an Israeli real estate sales event at the Keter Torah Synagogue. That event violates both domestic law and international law. Violates domestic law because we had a Civil Rights Act in 1965 and a Fair Housing Act in 1968. We don't allow real estate events to be for whites only, for Jews only, for anybody only. Now, as Jews, we don't get to fly under the radar and break the law and hide it in a synagogue. It violates international law because West Bank settlement homes are going to be available for sale at this real estate event. On the website, it lists three different West Bank settlements. Those settlements are in and of themselves illegal by international law. If we allow this sale to go through, we are enabling a local synagogue to violate both domestic anti-discrimination laws and international law. Now, there's other reasons we shouldn't allow it, okay? There's a genocide going on right now. I don't care who that offends. More than 35,000 people have been killed. More than 13,000 children have been killed. People in this community are in deep mourning. People in this community are angry. I'm angry. What this real estate event is going to do is it's going to fan the flames. If it goes forward, there will be a demonstration. I know there's going to be a demonstration because I'm going to organize it. It will be very well attended. What I'm saying needs to be done is, I don't know how much power this mayor and this council have to actually shut down the event, but I know you have the power to recommend that it be shut down. And I'm asking you to please do it. We don't need to have more divisiveness in this community, okay? We don't need to have Jewish privilege rule the day by saying we're entitled to break the law and have this real estate event and not care about how so many people in this community feel about it. Thank you for letting me speak.
This is something that's...
And if they excluded a Jewish person, can you imagine if they had an event like that?
Okay, that's another point. What if you excluded now...
What would happen then?
What would happen then?
Yeah, but for Palestinians, there's a different standard. Everything is different. You steal land for Palestinians. You can sell their land. You can discriminate against them. And at one point, they ask him, are you Jewish? Because if he's not, obviously he's not Jewish, you know, they said to him, are you Jewish? And when obviously he was not. And so they don't want him. They don't want him because he's Jewish. They don't want him because of his hat that the other guy used some foul language to describe the hat. And these people get a pass. And why they get a pass is a good question. But this is not the only place where they get a pass. We're also selling them weapons. We're also sending them money. It's not just that they get a pass on illegal transactions and racism, blatant racism like this. We're sending them money. We're allowing them to commit a genocide and murder tens of thousands of civilians on prime time. So, I mean, it's not only this, it's all connected to this massive, massive crime against humanity that the world doesn't think is a problem because Palestinians don't count, don't matter.
You also having to serve at one point as a Special Forces IDF soldier, what did you see? What was your state at that time looking at other soldiers? I recently saw a video where there was an IDF soldier and he was describing, he was being interviewed by a Muslim and he was talking about him having, how his conscience, how, well, God forgive me. He was saying all the evil things that they were doing. He was on drugs and everything to kind of mask the pain. And he wanted to come out of it, right? He's one of the few that's seeing that this is wrong. And he ended up letting his heart speak.
But you deep down, because you have a conscience as a human being, you start feeling, this is not the right thing to do. When you look at a child, you're still a human being.
To be honest, it affected me really hard, man, to watch the children shaking. I got sick 1 year. I got PTSD. I felt in my heart what I'm doing is wrong. This is not human, man. It's the devil. You can't do things like that. One time we put a dog barking on a kid and the kid started to piss himself. And everybody left and the mother was crying. And what can I say? I'm just honest. God, listen. He sees everything. He hears everything.
So say after me, I testify.
I testify.
There's nothing worthy of worship.
It's nothing worthy than worship.
Except Allah.
Except Allah.
And I testify.
cannot testify.
That Prophet Muhammad?
That Prophet Muhammad.
Is his messenger?
Is his messenger.
And servant.
And servant.
We'll say the same thing now, but in Arabic, inshallah. Yeah? Okay. Say, Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
An.
An.
La.
La.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illa Allah.
What was your condition at that time? Obviously, it was good. Your humanity was on. That you're here now, but for many, what many out there, the programming that they have to go through, and this the dilemma that they're facing, because everyone has a heart, everyone has some humanity until it's all gone. Like, what do you have for other people who are out there who are kind of stuck in between, and now they're listening to you? You're literally the general son. Huge Zionist family. Your grandfather was the one who wrote the help to create Israel. Is this correct? It's right there in the general son.
Yeah. So, you know, so my good fortune, you know, I went in, you know, obviously being the son of a general and this whole militant, very militaristic kind of upbringing, but also very patriotic, believing in Zionism and all this. You know, this was part of my family, every dinner around the table, all the time. And I went into it very naive, knowing that, well, nobody's perfect. Obviously, we make mistakes, but we're on the right here. We're on the right side of history. We're on the right side of the issue. And if I go in and I do the right thing, it's going to be fine. And then I went in and I started noticing little things. And I actually describe it. It's right here. I actually describe it in the book, in The General Son. These first little experiences that I noticed that were, you know, we're marching at night and we're trampling over people's like cultivated ground on agriculture ground. Why are we trampling over all these crops? And then we would be told to, I don't know, patrol some city, God knows for what reason. And if anybody looks at us, we need to break every bone in their body. And they're giving us batons and handcuffs. And I'm thinking, and mind you, this was early 1980, 81. There was really nothing major going on at that time, 82. And from 82 on, you know, there was something else. But there was really nothing special. They just wanted us to, you know, go and be a show of force. And if anybody dares to challenge us, to break. And I was thinking, we're going to be walking, you know, an entire platoon of infantry walking through a city. Everybody's going to look at us. It's going to be a weird sight. What are we supposed to do? Kill them all? And so I began noticing these little things. And then in 1982, which was my last year of service, the Israel invaded Lebanon. Thankfully, I was not a combat soldier anymore. I really didn't see any action. I didn't do anything that I, you know, would keep me awake at night, thankfully. But I was there and I realized just how naive I was and how big the lie of the more Israel being a moral army and all that, how big these lies are. And of course, that eventually led me to where I am today. But I was the only one, and I couldn't understand how everybody else is okay with what we're seeing. And it seems like maybe I missed something in the indoctrination. You know, there was a lesson where I didn't pay attention or something, where they told us that it was okay to act with such inhumanity towards other people just because they're Arabs, just because they're Palestinians, just because they're not us. I don't know what the explanation is. I mean, certainly it's very, very heavy indoctrination and being taught to hate and being taught to be racist. But how is it that when people actually see the injustice, it doesn't wake them up? That I don't understand. I have no explanation for that. I really don't understand that.
Miko, thank you very much for spending some more time with us and helping to bring some light and truth and some clarity.
It's always a pleasure.
A better understanding.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, God bless you. Thank you. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.